Chapter 4. The snake made a sound like steam hissing, and darted its tongue in an experimental sort of way. "Oh, Uncle Terrible," cried Anatole. "I'm sorry."
"Sorry? Sorry?" breathed the snake, and draped itself around the boy's shoulder.
It had Uncle Terrible's face, right down to his black beard, only the face was small as an apple and peered out from a hood of glittering scales.
"Save the silver serpent," hissed Uncle Terrible.
"I don't know how to save you," wailed Anatole.
"The silver serpent," repeated Uncle Terrible.
"The ring?" Anatole picked it up and read the inscription aloud once more. "If lost, turn to the right." "I'm not lost, Uncle Terrible, but you are. So I'll turn to the right."
He turned and found himself facing the mirror. "Maybe I should turn the ring to the right?"
And he slipped the ring over his finger.
"Stop," warned Uncle Terrible. But Anatole was already twisting it.
The light in the little house gathered itself into a beam that shone straight into the mirror like a road. And there, in the mirror itself, what was that prick of light advancing slowly, like a train at the far end of a tunnel? He squinted, shaded his eyes, and gave a gasp of delight. A stagecoach, no higher than his knee, was jogging toward him. It was made of moss and drawn by a ghostly mule. Smoke wrapped around a ladder of bones. You could see right through him.
"Why, there's no driver," exclaimed Anatole, for he saw none.
But who else could be singing so loud and joyously?
"Great eye, little eye, great eye can see. Little eye is sharp eye, little eye will be. Little eye, simple eye, little eye is free. Little eye is sharp eye, little eye will be."